Hello, everybody. Locked On Big 12 podcast. Today, I am Josh Neighbors. Joining me, the man, the myth, the legend of Outkick and 1070 The Fan. Are we still driving DoorDash, Dan? Is that what we're doing right now?
Yeah, we started out owing my family $4,000. We're down to under 100. We're at about 80. Slowed it down a little bit, but I haven't missed a week since March. Kicking ass, buddy. Yeah, I may continue. It's kind of nice. Put the car on. You know, get in the car, drive around, put some music on. Kind of like it.
You have to be the most famous DoorDash driver, I mean, ever, right? I mean, like, is there any other story you can find of somebody else with your profile driving DoorDash?
I don't think. See, I'll tell you when I screw up, right? A lot of people won't. A lot of people try to hide it. And I don't know anybody that I've met. I don't know if they're famous or not, but whether it's ESPN or Outkick or interviewed, you know, that has said, damn, that's a really good idea. I think I'm going to do that. Like, I haven't seen anybody say that. Like, a lot of people have said, man, that's really honorable. Like, one of my bosses at ESPN, Lee Fittings, like, that's the greatest thing I've ever heard, you know, because I'm doing it to pay my family back. I lost my mind first day of the NCAA tournament. But I haven't heard anybody, nobody, Josh, say, oh, man, that's a great idea. Some of my listeners have, but nobody that you would describe as famous or, you know, someone people really know.
For those of you who don't know by now, this is Dan Dockich. Dan and I worked together, SiriusXM, ESPNU Radio. I mean, Dan, it was like 3 hours every Saturday morning during basketball season. And then into the summer, we were talking soccer gambling on the Euros. And now you've got a new gig. So what are you up to now in addition to your show, 1070 The Fan? What are you doing now with Outkick?
Hey, I appreciate that. Outkick came to me and made me a hell of an offer. And I'm going to do a show on Outkick 360 from 9 to 11. It starts Monday, the 25th. And I'm kind of fired up about it. I mean, I was at ESPN 10 years. I love my time at ESPN. But for me personally, it's time to go and see something else. 10 years long enough for most jobs. So we're going to talk some things maybe politically that ESPN didn't want guys to talk about, maybe talk about things nationally that a local radio show doesn't allow you to do. And we're going to stir it up a little bit. It's owned by Fox, so it's going to be on some of the Fox things, but it's outkick360.com. And I'm kind of fired up about it. Actually, I'm very fired up about it.
And also, I mean, we're having you on because College Hoops is here. And we're going to talk some college basketball. That's why you're here today, Dan. And I just think this year is really fascinating because last year, obviously, coaches had a lot to deal with COVID. We heard about all the different kinds of stories and things that they had to deal with. This year presents a unique challenge because there are more transfers than ever. And some of the Big 12 teams are great examples of that. But the challenge now is to mix, for the teams, at least in the Power Five, to mix your variety of transfers with your veteran players with your freshmen coming in. As somebody who has experience coaching, what do you think about that kind of challenge that's going to be facing a lot of these coaches this year?
Well, I think it's a hell of a challenge. I do. And by the way, how stupid are we? It's a Big 12 podcast. You're wearing a Virginia Tech shirt. I'm wearing an Indiana shirt. I mean, right. Complete idiots, you and me, which I'm not surprised about.
Hey, the listeners can send us gear, Dan. If they want us to wear it, they can just send it to us, all right?
On their dime. I got to go XXX because XXX, things shrink and – I like wearing stuff big. No, but, you know, you're right. I mean, look, let's be honest. Guy like Eric Musselman at Arkansas, who's put teams together, whether it's been in the G League, D League, whatever they called it when he was there, whether it was as a NBA coach, you know, Calipari now for the first time, he's got a bunch of transfers. James Aquino, you know, coming over from Arizona to Baylor to replace guys that just won a national championship. I think the interesting thing is recruiting. Like when you recruit somebody, you say to them, okay, Josh, here's the guys we have in front of you. You know, you're a kid in high school because everybody wants to play. Okay. Here's the guys we have in front of you. They're going to be graduating. You know, when you're a sophomore, you're going to get a chance to start and blah, 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 blah. Well, now you can't really say that to a kid because if a transfer becomes available or a fifth year transfer, now it pushes that kid back. This is the bad part of it. High school kids are going to be left behind, and they have been left behind. Not the great ones. I'm not talking about that. Mm. But I'm talking about the stories, you know, of a guy who wasn't recruited. A coach saw him late. You know, that's now in talking to coaches. That's transfer portal guy. You know, I'm keeping a scholarship to see if somebody leaves a school. And that's just not the Power Five. That's everywhere. So guys that have experience in this, professional coaches that have to put rosters together. You go to training camp, you know, Mike Woodson at Indiana, you go to training camp and, okay, here's two rookies. Here's a free agent we kind of like. Here's two guys on expiring contracts. I think they have a little bit of advantage because they've done it before. But this is a fascinating year. Hell, I talk to coaches, and I'm like, hey, what year is that kid? And they go, God, you know, he's redshirted, but he's got that extra. I'm not really sure. You know, they'll be sure by the time the season starts. Don't get me wrong. But that's part of it, you know, because of the extra year and transfer. It's not a mess. Coaches make a lot of money not to handle the things when they're easy, okay? Right. They're making a lot of money to handle things when they're difficult or they're different. And I'm fascinated by how this is going to work out, because you could see this. You could see a team, and you see this, I guess, every year, start out really well, and then all of a sudden, damn, why'd they go south? Well, a couple of kids got mad, transferred in the middle of the year because they weren't playing enough. There's just all kind of dynamics here that I'm fascinated by. But it's going to be interesting, and I think it's going to be fun, really fun.
Yeah, the one team, and we have to start with them, is the reigning national champions, Baylor. And actually, it's kind of the one team that we really don't talk a ton about. Like, there's not many guys that transfer out of Baylor, And what's super interesting about this title defense is that it's those guys that were kind of the role players. It's the Matthew Myers, it's the Adam Flaglers, it's the Jonathan Chamwachachuas, who are now going to be taking up that mantle as the primary guys who are defending that title. And I think that's really fascinating, because how often do we see in college basketball those guys, those ancillary guys, the new guys move out? I mean, Butler, Teague, Mark Vidal, and then who am I missing? Oh,
Mitchell.
Davion Mitchell, obviously. Yeah,
Mitchell.
Like, I mean, that's a hell of a lot to replace, but that's the nature of the sport. That's what this sport is supposed to be, right? Those new kids you get a glimpse of, you're excited about. Okay, now it's their time to shine. This is actually one of the more traditional college basketball teams this year. It's, you know, they've got a couple transfers, but still, it's those guys who have to step up, and they also had a really awesome recruiting class as well.
Yeah, and you know, Aquino's going to be a big deal, and he hasn't been great. I mean, look, you got to understand, I know he led Arizona in scoring, but somebody's got to lead a bad team in scoring.
Right.
And he's left two different places. Now, the one thing that I've always thought about Scott Drew is whatever's going around, and there's always, you know, external drama, it seems like, with Baylor. The internal doesn't get affected. You know, they just keep on keeping on. And I'm interested to see how Aquino fits in. You mentioned Matt Meyer. I'm fascinated because, as you said, this isn't like, okay, well, we're going to bring in four or five fifth-year guys to replace a veteran group. Now, remember, that group that left, some of those were transfers as well. I mean, you mentioned Mitchell transfer. You mentioned goddamn Butler transfer, you know. So they've done well with traditional type transfers. I think, and I know I'm not trying to pander here, but I think when you look at the Big 12, I think that Baylor will be around the top, because I feel like that's where they always are. But I think you could also make the case that this might be as good a league as there is in the country. Everybody's talking about the Big 10, and the Big 10's good, really good. But there's two things that happen in the Big 12. One, you've got athletes. Two, you've got coaches that understand letting athletes go. Like, I thought last year in the NCAA tournament, the Big 10's coaches, you know, you didn't play a ball screen, so I'm going to sit your ass, you know, that kind of stuff. Yeah, you better get guys that can get up and down the floor and make shots. If they screw up a ball screen switch or something, who cares? You know, go score. So I am fascinated by the Big 12. Six teams in the top 25 at the end of last year. Texas hasn't gone anywhere. You know, I don't know that the new coach, you know, I love Porter Mosier, but the last coach is pretty damn good, Lon Kruger.
Right.
I mean, so before we start crowning people, hey, look, well, Oklahoma really upgrade. Be careful, because Lon Kruger is one hell of a basketball coach. But I do think you can make the argument when you combine athletic ability, talent, with the coaching in the league, I don't know that there's any better league. You got the national champion. You got Kansas still in there. You got Texas, new coach, new system. That guy's shown that he can win at whatever level you want.
Don't forget Kansas too. And I want to ask you about, so Kansas is really is interesting this year because they were last seen getting smoked by a more talented team, which is, I mean, how often have we said that? But that USC group, a lot of talent on the, on the floor, ran them out of the gym in that NCAA tournament game. They return Dave McCormick. They return Oshai Agbaji. They return Jalen Wilson. They add Remy Martin. Now, this is – and they've, I mean, Yesufu from Drake comes over too. This is the challenge here, right? They've got to make it all work. And we heard the same thing about Arizona State last year. A bunch of really – a lot of talent. Remy Martin was going to lead them, and it went completely south. So what's your rule in Kansas here? Because they're number three in the country to start off, and they've got a lot of proven players. But it's like all these guys are going to have to maximize if they want to win this league because – this is not Kansas because it's going to steamroll the Big 12 anymore. You're totally right. There's too much depth.
Yeah, and but 9 out of 10 times it does go through Lawrence, Kansas. Here's the deal. You mentioned Remy Martin. I mean, at what point, and this is a criticism, no doubt, and I don't apologize for it, but at what point do you stop listening to people call you a great player? Everybody's a great player now. Oh, he's a great player, really? Well, the whole thing at Arizona State imploded. Great players don't let things implode. Jalen Coleman Lands. Mm-hmm. You know, when he came out of high school, out of Indianapolis here, man, everybody wanted him. He goes to Illinois. He goes to DePaul. Now he's at Kansas. Now, here's the deal. Illinois, great program. DePaul, historically going backwards, great program. But they ain't Kansas. And sometimes Arizona State, like I was watching, this was kind of interesting, and this kind of applies to Remy Martin. You know, these guys, I was watching a show on Netflix, this is going back, on a point-shaving scandal at Arizona State. And a guy named Headache Smith and Isaac Burton were the main guys at point shave. And they were talking about how because they won a few games, how big a rock stars they were at Arizona freaking State. Like, when they were showing the games, the gym was half filled. So rock star my ass. Now you go to Kansas, now you are a rock star. However, you're a rock star on the shoulders of guys that have done great things in college basketball. So you got one of two things that you can do if you're Coleman Lands and if you're Remy Martin. One, you can buy totally into it, man, and say, this is awesome. Like national champion, I got a chance to be a part of a national championship. Or two, you can continue with a me, I'm a rock star, I, you know. And if you want to do that, then it's up to Coach Self. And I think you'll see that this year because Coach Self isn't used to losing as many games. And as you said, getting run out of the NCAA tournament. So it's not going to be, hey, you're going to come in here and tell me. It's going to be, you're going to come in here and do what we've always done. And if you don't, I'll find somebody. I imagine that's how it's going to be. So I'm interested in Kansas from that perspective. Two guys, two talented guys. Coleman Lance can really shoot it.
Yeah,
he's one of those guys that can get white hot. I mean, whap, whap, whap. And everybody tells me, you know, all my colleagues when I was at ESPN would tell me how great Remy Martin is. And I'm sitting here watching. I'm like, yeah, okay. I mean, whatever. Yeah, sure. He's great. He's wonderful. He's terrific. But they keep losing. So how great are you?
Yeah, the question is, like, is it the kind of change of scenery that really kind of is conducive to being better? I mean, it's more pressure than Arizona State was now. And it's a really talented team. I mean, I think for them
– it is. And McCormick is really good.
I think it comes back to those guys. I think it comes back to those guys who are on the team already. I think – it's got to be Agbaji and Wilson and McCormick. If they want to win a championship in the Big 12 and national title, those three guys have to elevate their game to this top status we saw last year because those guys were so inconsistent.
Well, McCormick has, you know, I don't know. Everybody wants to always put guys in the NBA. I got no idea. Like, there are some guys that make the NBA that I'm like, how the hell did that guy make the NBA? Right, there are other guys that don't make the NBA. So I don't know. I just know this, that David McCormick has every ability to be as good a big man as there is in college basketball, you know, including guys like Kofi Coburn, you know, and that kind of thing. But as you said, you got to do it every night. And last year, he didn't. This year, you know what? give him credit. He's older. He stayed in college. He's got a chance for another year of just simply being mature. I mean, you know, it's funny. Everybody that goes to college, it doesn't have to be basketball, football, baseball players. Just anybody that goes to college understands the difference a year makes in being in college, in your maturity, in your growth, in your understanding of just what the heck's going on around here. So I really like that kid, and I hope he has has one of those monster years, you know, where all of a sudden, man, we're talking about him as a dominant type player. Because I when I watch some guys, you just kind of like them. Other guys you watch and you're like, yeah, I don't like you. You're not about, you know. Right. I've liked that guy. So we'll see. But, I mean, look, let's be honest. I mean, if you go back, not last year, but if you go back historically, it runs through Lawrence, Kansas, period.
The most interesting team in this conference by far, is Texas. And that's because they've got a new coach in Chris Beard, who I think the world of. But this is the ultimate Chris Beard team. It is, I mean, they had lost three guys to the NBA. Obviously, Coach Shaka Smart leaves. He did a good job of bringing back Courtney Ramey. He brought back Andrew Jones, brought back Brock Cunningham. And they hit the transfer market real hard. I mean, they have so many additions to this team. Marcus Carr obviously comes in. The guys from, all over the place coming into to play with them. And the question I think for them is, how do they find their best five? And that's the thing that, you know, and how does that look? Because I go back to the 2019 Texas Tech team when everything shut down, Dan. They had a game against Texas in the Big 12 tournament that might have decided whether they made it or not. And that team was way too talented to miss the tournament. And I do think, as much as I love Chris Beard, sometimes he doesn't always get it right and find the mesh, if you will, for this team of guys from kind of all over the place. And so that's the key for him. I think this might be one of those things where, they play Gonzaga early on and they might get their asses handed to them. But then in February, you're saying, oh my God, I can't believe it's the same group of guys. They look fantastic. What are your thoughts on Texas and what Chris Beard's
got? Well, that's what you want. I mean, he had a busy offseason. I'm the only guy. Like, I know that in college basketball, everybody's afraid to criticize anybody, but Marcus Carr is good enough to get you fired. I mean, that's what he was at Minnesota. Right. You know, he goes and gets 25, and the AD and the president go, man, we got this Marcus Carr. Why do we lose? Well, you lose because he doesn't guard anybody. You lose because he over dribbles. You lose because he's not really passing the ball to guys at the right time. Again, here's a kid that started out at Pittsburgh, went to Minnesota, and now is at Texas. I hope Marcus Carr gets that figured out, because last year in the Big Ten, he was the ultimate good enough to get you fired guy. I mean, period. Like, you know, he'd go get a bunch, make a shot late. Maybe you win a game at home. Next night out, he's doing the same thing. But Chris Beard, again, he's one of those guys, Josh, that – he's put together teams, whether it was at Texas Tech or junior college. He's put Arkansas Little Rocker. I think that's where he was before.
Yeah,
he's put together teams with JUCO guys coming in. He's put together one-year teams, you know. So he had a great recruiting class. They're up to fifth in the country in terms of this preseason rankings, which literally means nothing because the idiots in college basketball don't know their ass from third base and they just make stuff up based on who they like. But that's all right. But the truth of the matter is I'm fascinated to see whether Marcus Carr – I don't think Chris Beard will let Marcus Carr be good enough to lose games for you. I don't. And I think he'll make Marcus Carr good enough – to compete for a championship. I do. I think Chris Beard is going to have a handle on that.
Yeah, well, we saw it last year with Mac McClung, right? I mean, I think it took him a little too long to maybe realize they were better off with him sometimes off the floor. Just because...
Who's that?
Mac McClung.
Oh, yeah. Same thing. Mac McClung is ultimately... Yeah. Mac McClung was so worried about his YouTube or whatever the hell that's... Mac McClung was last year's Big 12 poster child for good enough to get you fired. And guess what happened to the coach? He got fired.
Right. I mean, that's the thing about Mac McClung is like that's kind of his game. And eventually they'll realize that you're better off. So it's how you manage those type of guys that it's going to decide the season.
Yeah, thoughts. I do think that I'm not going to say nobody handles him better, but Beard will handle him really well.
Do you think he's going to be eventually an NBA coach? I just feel like with the way he manages people, he just kind of knows how to do it. It just feels like that's kind of at some point in time. If he, I mean, I feel like it's there if he wants it to be. I feel like that's one of those guys that could transition from college and maybe it actually works out, because we've seen, and there's been a good number of them that have not panned out.
I think the NBA is going a different direction.
Okay. All right. That's interesting.
What else?
All right, Dan, just a couple thoughts. We'll get you out of here. Number one, two teams in the country, UCLA and Gonzaga. Do you think there's a chance that UCLA starts off the same, kind of almost like they did last year, where maybe, you know, and with this target on their back, they don't really coalesce until later on? Or do you think they've got it figured out and they kind of hit the ground running?
Here's what I learned about UCLA. We had, I think we were doing a show. We had Jaime Jaquez's family staying with us. We had seven or eight folks, his dad, his mom. You know, we had his aunt, whose reason we had him was because my wife, I don't know why I'm pointing this way, because she's over there. So I'm pointing, you know, my wife coached Jaime's aunt. So they all stayed with us, and we would sit at night during the tournament and just talk about, you know, their team. And one thing I learned about their team is what a close-knit group of guys, like pretty much ego-free. The kid that decided, I think it was Chris Smith last year, decided not to play, really helped UCLA. You know, roles got established. Not that Chris Smith was a good guy or a bad guy, but roles got established. And, you know, Johnny Juzang and Jaime really got playing well. So I don't see growing pain. Now, they may lose a game because there's other good teams. Right. And I don't, you know, this isn't like, you know, the Duke teams with seven pros. I mean, back in the day, this, you know, they could get beat, but they're not going to get beat trying to figure it out. I think I know they connected very well with Mick Cronin. So I anticipate a pretty hot start. I don't have their schedule in front of me, but I don't think this is going to be one of those deals. It's a veteran group, learned a lot, and really like each other. Like Josh, I mean, really liked each other. So and everybody, there was never, like, the media and people made it out about, you know, they're going to go to the NBA. No, none of them were ever going. They were coming back because they're smart people. You know, Juzang's smart. Hake's smart. They're smart people. And they weren't going to make dumb decisions. So I'm fascinated. I'm a huge fan because of the relationship that we built. But I'm also a fan of the way they play. I think they're going to be dynamite. And I think they're going to win the Pac-12. But I don't think they're going undefeated or anything like that.
Right. All right, Dan, I appreciate you giving us some time. Once again,
that's
plug your
it?
Stuff. Well, it's 20 minutes or so. You're a busy guy. I'm a busy guy.
Oh, all right. Yeah. I'll plug my stuff.
Plug your stuff.
Hey,
go ahead.
10-0, actually, we lost to 1070. We got rid of that. We're 1075thefan.com, 1075, 93.5. We got all kinds of stations. Outkick, you can catch my radio show on YouTube. Go to youtube.com. 12 to 3. But most of you should watch during the college basketball season in particular, 9 to 11, Outkick 360, starting the 25th. I wish Josh Neighbors was my freaking producer, because then you know what we would do? We would win money on soccer, and we would talk about the handsomeness of soccer coaches.
And we'd lose it all. We would lose it all in basketball like we did last year, right?
And you'd be door dashing.
Exactly. All right, Dan Dockich, appreciate your time, man.
Thanks, Josh. My pleasure, brother.